I remember I would sit in the therapist's office and she would say, you have the drug history of a 40-year-old woman. And I'm sitting there, 18 years old, thinking, I don't have a problem because I'm not legal to drink. When I was 15, I tried smoking weed. And right before my parents pulled me out of public school, I tried experimenting with other drugs. I tried cocaine for the first time and started smoking cigarettes and drinking. And it wasn't until I met a boy, and he was much older than me. I was 15, he was 23. And I had tried heroin, and I didn't know what to expect, what to do, and I began intravenously using heroin. I went home one night, and I remember my dad telling me how much he loved me and how much I meant to them, and it wasn't until I, like, sat back and realized that I was destroying my life, but my parents were also watching their little girl kill herself. And I went to bed. My mom came in my room at 3 a.m, and my dad came in behind her, and they both said they love me dearly. And behind them, there was a large guy and a woman. And they said, you know, we're here to help you. Just come get your things. And from there, I went to a wilderness program in Oregon. I spent 13 weeks in the wilderness, just no electronics, no nothing, and hiking everywhere with girls who had that same problem as I did. And struggled, and we all shared our stories, and it really did help me. And I got a letter there from my parents, and they said, you know, we love you in this, but they also had found a school for me in Utah. It was equine therapy. We each got our own horse, and it just worked with, you know, depression, anxiety, and there was a psychiatrist there and everything, and it was great. I went there for about a year and a half, 2 years, and I met great girls, had a great counselor, and my relationship was slowly being restored with my parents. And for the first 6 months, couple months, I was doing really good, and I, you know, got on the right track, back in school, found a new school, and that helped with my problems. I was back on medication, doing great, wasn't smoking cigarettes, and I was sober. And I ran into the same boy that I had met, and he asked me, he's like, you want to go out tonight and do something? And I, again, fell back into my old patterns, and didn't really know what to do, and this was about the age of 18. Didn't know what to do. I intravenously every day began using heroin. If I didn't have it, I would made sure to get it. And without it, I was sick. My parents didn't know. They knew that I was struggling again. And even though I was hurting people and losing my family, the only person I was disregarding and not even realize I was hurting was myself.
Welcome to Unhooked. My name is Pastor Bernie.
And I'm Dr. Kitty, and today we'll be talking about underage addictions.
Today we've got some great guests. It's great to welcome you, Dr. Inspeakian, and you, Sue Jackson. Pleased that you guys are here to talk about underage addictions.
Happy to be here.
I'm wondering, is underage addictions, is that a phenomenon that's increasing? And what are the most commonly used substances by underage children? Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's kind of interesting. Over the last 10 years, it's probably been decreasing up until the last 3 years where we've had an upturn in drugs being used. But it's still, we can't say as a whole, we have to kind of take them specifically one drug at a time. Marijuana has been the big one that's kind of led the upturn in use probably in the last 2 or 3 years. I think 1 out of 2 high school students at graduation would have used a drug at some point while they're in high school. When you look at marijuana, you're looking at maybe 1 out of 15 high schoolers are using marijuana on a daily basis.
So marijuana kind of did the upturn. Are there some other drugs that are currently popular with young people?
Opiates, painkillers. Mm-hmm. Between the ages of 12 and 17, children and adolescents are either getting into the medicine cabinets of their parents, sports-related injuries, and they have to take some pain medication. They could easily get addicted. Mm-hmm. So between that age group, it's definitely increasing, yes.
I mean, something else that we don't talk about too much are these newer drugs, these synthetic drugs that are coming on the market. Synthetic marijuana or spice has definitely increased in use in a lot of teenagers. And something called bath salts, and these aren't the bath salts that we're using to take a nice bath. They're kind of a mixture between ecstasy and methamphetamine. And up until about a year ago, they were available in regular smoke shops, gas stations, and over the internet, they still continue to be available for kids to use. I think use is about 10% out there, so 1 out of 10 kids are experimenting in these synthetic marijuanas or synthetic drugs that are out there.
Wow, if you're a parent, you have to be concerned. What are some of the signs that you look for to look, you know, and see if your underage child is actually involved in drugs?
Did you? Okay. Well, you know, the moodiness, change in behavior, change of friends, those kinds of things. But I think it's also important to look at as the child or adolescent there's experimentation sometimes, but then that can easily turn into an addiction. And then as they gain that addiction because they've gotten tolerant to the drug or the alcohol that they're abusing, the family members gain a tolerance to the abnormal behavior of the child. So they don't always recognize it immediately because they're actually becoming addictive, which we call codependency. Parent becomes codependent. So it's important that they start really recognizing change of friends, you know, change of the behavior, lying, dishonesty, those kinds of things that might not be how their child usually is. That would be a telltale sign. Mm-hmm.
A lot of parents are asking for that. What can I see in my child as a physical symptom? A lot of times those physical symptoms have disappeared by the time the parents actually can lay eyes on the kids. But you know, some of the basic things are maybe dilated pupils, red eyes, shivering, clammy, sweating, unsteady gait. But a lot of times those, unless you catch your child right when they're using or right after that they've used, you're not going to catch a lot of those signs and symptoms of drug use. Mm-hmm.
Wow. You were mentioning, you know, the cabinet, the medicine cabinet at home, or even prescriptions prescribed. Mm-hmm. It sounds like there's a variety of access. Is it easy to access drugs, substances for a young person, and what would be the avenues at which that might be occurring?
Absolutely. Well, in their own medicine cabinet, of course, but then their friends who have maybe experimented, and then they have access to it, so there's that. They can often fake an injury or learn, because they'll learn from their friends, to maybe go to the doctor and get medications that they don't really need, or if they do, it turns into an addiction.
So what sort of impact is this going to have on their future? I mean, if they're starting drug use so early, you know, what is that going to do for them going forward?
Drug use can affect every aspect of their developmental trajectory. So social, emotional, brain maturation. We forget that teenagers at 14, 15, 16 years of age are actually going through a lot of brain changes. And they're also charged with a lot of developmental tasks of, you know, independence, intimacy, identity development. And all of these developmental milestones can be completely thrown off their trajectory.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
To me, it's almost catastrophic because there are so many other things that are distracting the children today, you know, video games, that type of stuff. And so they are so distracted in every avenue. And when they get involved in drugs or alcohol, what happens is they no longer are interested in education, you know, doing well in school, getting jobs, those kinds of things. And so that will impact the whole community.
Wow. Can I just ask this? Are they getting addicted, I mean, just right away? Is it just one-time use, and you're seeing the path, you know, lay out that they're becoming addicted? Or is there a way to avoid it at all? Or?
There are some drugs that can have immediate drug addiction, too. And then you have to look at if they have a predisposition to that genetically, or if their developmental stage is such that they can immediately become addicted because, you know, they're young and their brain and their, you know, bodies haven't fully developed. So they're more likely to get addicted much quicker than an adult would. Would you agree to that?
I would definitely agree. And there's also a flip side to it as well, too. A lot of times we run the risk of over-pathologizing kids because some experimentation is normal, but a lot of times if they get labeled with a disease prematurely, that's also detrimental for them as well.
Well, we thank you for being with us. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
exotic dancing is the career I chose when I hit about the age of 18 and a half. And by the age of 19, my cutting had gotten out of control. It became just a whole different world. It went to going to bed in my own bed at night, eating with my family, to getting off of work at 4, 5 or 6 in the morning and going to sleep and having to wake up with, I always had to have a needle by my bed or a bottle cap or a lighter or a pack of cigarettes or anything that would change my mood. And if I didn't, I'd be terrified. You know, from when you're little, you have to go to sleep with a stuffed animal. It changes when you're older and you're an addict. You have to go to sleep with a lighter in your hand. And I didn't know where to turn, who to go to, except for a razor blade. I was so hurt, I needed to find a way out, and it left me with scars all the way up my arm, and I was ashamed, I was embarrassed, and I was scared. It kind of became a reality, seeing how it deteriorated my body, how much I weighed, was losing my hair, I had scars up my left arm, and I never really wanted to be sober. I didn't want to feel sober, I didn't want to look around and face reality. I'd rather live in an imaginary world in my head and just feel like everything would be fine. But at about 19 years old, I found out I was pregnant for the second time. And this was with a boyfriend who is now in prison, and I was scared, I was nervous, I didn't know what to do. And so I went home, my mom again asked me, we'll make an appointment. It's okay, we'll go, let's go. So I ended up getting my second abortion at the age of 19. It became normal, decided, shut off all feelings towards it. My parents never knew I danced and I did that kind of stuff. You know, they always knew I lived at friends' houses and tried to manage off of what I had, but I always feared telling my parents the truth or why I was scared what I was doing, because I didn't want them to see me as what I was becoming, what I thought I was turning myself into. I think my lowest point when I knew I needed help was when I got my last abortion, and I'm 19 years old and I'm hooked on heroin, and I didn't know how to feel. I didn't know what to do. So I went home and I tried to overdose again and wound up in the hospital, which is scary because it's different from saying I want to kill myself, so I'm going to try, and then waking up in a hospital bed facing reality, the fact that you tried to do it and didn't succeed. I was just terrified of reality. I didn't want to face what was actually happening and my emotions behind it.
Welcome back, and we've been talking about underage addiction. We've been talking about how frequent the use, or how it's increased in our communities with young people and underage addiction and a variety of drugs. And we were saying, wow, that seems like our parents and caregivers in the community need to be really concerned, outside of maybe locking them up until they're 25 or somewhere. What do we do? What do we do to help young people with this issue?
Most definitely stay very involved in your child's life. There's several anti-drug programs within each city community where they can call their local leaders and find out where some programs that they can personally get involved with. In regards to the relationship with their children, just stay very involved in their lives and let them know that you are really, really adamant about staying involved with the community against drugs. Like, you're going to really fight against that, and include them in that. Include them in conversations.
It sounds like it's a balance between supporting them and also holding them accountable.
Absolutely. They need to look at the negative consequences that their child is experiencing if they are using drugs, or the negative consequences that could happen if they get involved with drugs and alcohol.
So, doctor, what are some of the treatment options that we're looking at for underage addicts?
It's important to know that the same treatment options that exist for adults exist for children. So that's on the whole spectrum, from outpatient treatment to intensive outpatient programs, all the way into residential programs where the child actually has to go there, live there, and go through treatment in a facility, maybe away from their home. But whatever treatment modality we use, treatment for adolescents needs to be through a lens of that's developmentally appropriate. A lot of times we forget, we think it's a cookie cutter type of system where whatever's good for adults will be good for children, and it's not always the case. We have to be mindful of their developmental milestones that they're going through.
And it sounds like you have to take into account their ecology or their environment they came from, and sounds like there might be a lot of things going on for these young people
sure.
in your treatment.
Sure, their parents may struggle with their own addictions, and so that would be very impacting for the child. And so that's one thing, excuse me, that they need to look at in their own life. Is my own alcohol use, is my own drug use, is that, how is that affecting my child? That's an important one.
Yeah, speaking of parents, how do we help them not become enablers for this underage addict?
I mean, just think about it. A lot of parents will end up making excuses for their kids, will end up paying their legal fees when they get arrested or they get charges. How many times has a parent said, okay, one more chance, and that chance becomes one more chance and one more chance, and never stops giving the child chances? So it's really important to be able to be there in a loving, unconditional manner for your children, but at the same time be able to guide them through and let them work through the natural consequences of their drug and alcohol use as well.
Parents tend to be in denial. Denials are usually the big one. I think the power of prayer, that they pray together as a family, that the parent in prayer prays for that child openly, and that child hears that and knows that they're involving God in their lives, that to protect them or to heal them. I think that's very, very important. And then the parents need to look at their own negative consequences of enabling their child, because sometimes they want to love them literally to death.
I'm just wondering, in your experience, many times I hear from parents, well, those are those children. Those are, you know, the children over there, or they have this kind of situation. But it's not in my home.
Not
it's not
home.
In
yeah.
my church or my community. Have you seen, is addiction with young people, is that something that might be a risk factor across groups? Or?
Sure, it is. And I've had that in several groups that I have run, where it's about, that's not my child. In fact, we had a child that was entering an adolescent, and the mother in the group for the parents stated, that's not my child over there in the other room where the addict and alcoholics were getting treatment. And I said, no, that is your child. And until you can accept that, you're going to have a difficulty and continue to enable them. But it is very impacting for the community. They need to be very involved and stay very, not hypervigilant, but aware.
So if we can get the underage addicts involved in treatment right away, is there a good chance that they can beat this thing and go on to live a real healthy life and not have to worry about addiction anymore in their future?
Starting early is the best way to be able to catch some of these things. I mean, when someone's been using drugs and alcohol for 10, 20, 30 years, they've already altered a big chunk of their life. And so what you're trying to do is catch it really early and make sure that you imprint upon them that the family cares about them, that the society cares about them, and that we want to enact change early before some of these, before some of their life stages have already been altered. I mean, you can always do it later on as well, too, but the earlier we catch these things, the better the outcomes are.
And I think it's important to note that first treatments sometimes don't always work, and parents get all excited
right.
that it's going to start working, and it might take two or three, but to never, ever give up,
right.
to never, ever give up on their child, and that they remember that just because it didn't work the first time, that they'll keep, but of course, again, they don't want to enable that behavior too, so they have to recognize. Reading some good books on codependency, Melody Beattie has some excellent work, so there's individuals who have written on addiction, but I feel very hopeful for our youth for the future that with a lot of family prayer, a lot of community prayer, a lot of looking at those kinds of things, those are real positives in their life.
Is there something... maybe I don't have children, or, you know, I'm in the community, I see other children. Is there something I could do, or my church or could do for young people?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do?
Being involved and being giving kids a place where they can go to be able to have an avenue to discuss some of these things. So within churches, starting a group, for kids that are struggling with different types of addiction, whether it's alcohol, drugs, or some of these behavioral addictions like internet, food, gambling. These are things that we do ignore. It's not all drugs and alcohol, but starting a place or providing them a forum with where they can come in a safe, objective, non-judgmental setting to be able to discuss and have support.
Yeah, so important for everyone to sort of get involved and help young people through this. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Unhooked, we'll be right back.
I never thought that searching out to find help and to find a drug facility would lead me to a Christian life. The first time I ever picked up a Bible, I didn't know what a psalm, a proverb, or anything was. And I realized that throughout all of my experiences, all of my overdoses, all of what I was going through, that the only thing I had to do was pick up the Bible and open to Psalm 139 and realize that God knows your heart, and He knows the desires of your heart. He knows when you go to sleep, and He just knows you. It just totally changed when I met all these women who have amazing stories and come out of them and live through them and just can share it and give me inspiration. And just knowing that I have a 24-hour person to talk to, and He never sleeps, never stops watching you, and it's a blessing. Just to realize that He never forsakes me and He never forgot about me. He showed me things and put people in my life to help me learn that I'm never gonna be who I used to be. You know, I honor where I came from. I don't regret anything I've done. And I'm living where I am now. I live in my present and I'm creating my future day by day. And to this day, I'm 3 months sober. July 30th was my sobriety date. And most importantly, He's giving me a life that I never thought I'd have back. It feels good to be sober and a Christian and realize that I couldn't have done any of this if God wasn't here helping me.
My name is Lizzie and I'm unhooked.
Hello again, friends. You know, addiction is not a problem just for older people. It strikes the hearts of many young people as well. In fact, I've worked with many people as a social worker who are struggling with addiction as young people. In their histories, young people have even been introduced to alcohol or drugs or other addictive practices by their families, by their own parents. And so young people need treatment just like old people do. My name is Dr. David, and I've worked with many of those young people. And it's heartbreaking to see that from the very beginnings of their lives, they have this disadvantage of addiction. God can set them free too. God is no respecter of persons. He has treatment, He has recovery, and He has freedom no matter what the person's age is. Young people many times also, though, struggle with what we call being an adult child of an alcoholic. Young people who see their parents drink or do cocaine or other forms of drugs in the home learn that that's the way they should cope with problems. But we know that there's a better way of coping with problems, a healthy way of coping with problems, healthy ways of speaking, healthy ways of dealing with the hurts and pains that all of us experience during our lifetimes. Young people can be free just like anyone else can be free. There are specific treatment programs for young people, and we're very, very happy that they exist. There are Christian treatment programs for young people. There are Christian programs even like a Teen Challenge, or there are Christian treatment programs like Adventist Recovery Ministries that can meet the specific needs of the young people, the teenagers who are struggling with addictions. Many young people that are in college or in high school or in our academies already are suffering from addictive compulsions. And these young people need to have programs that are available to them. Adventist Recovery Ministries is one of them. It's one of many services that are available to young people. It may be something that you are looking for today in your own life. And if so, recovery and hope and freedom is yours today. We hope that you will take advantage of finding freedom today. And so for more information about how you can break away from habits that hurt, contact Adventist Recovery Ministries. And for prayer, call 1-888-446-7388. Choose to become unhooked today.